definitely a market that is headline driven. You're listening to the American Ag Network. I'm Susan Littlefield. Arlen Suderman joins us today with StoneX. And, you know, I saw the initial chatter kind of happening overnight after the president made some comments to reporters that he was planning to maybe end this war and then have a conversation with Americans later tonight.
Yeah, and that certainly has had an impact on the market, particularly ahead of tonight's address to the nation. Crude oil prices are tumbling, and I've been telling our people, you want to know how long the money's going to flow into the grain and oilseeds, watch the crude oil market, because it's all been headline-driven. And here's kind of the thinking about it. We saw kind of the opposite on Tuesday after the crop report was behind us, that the thoughts of this war may linger therefore elevate the risks of crude oil prices, elevate inflation risk, and elevate the risk for food crisis down the road. The United Nations has warned of a pending food crisis. There have been many headlines on Wall Street about the coming food crisis. And so the speculative funds see these headlines and program that into their algo computers to trade as well. And when it looks like the war is going to linger, Strait of Hormuz is going to stay closed, they want to buy the food and energy-based commodities. And when it looks like it may come to an end soon, then they're going to be selling it. And today is one of those sell days. Tomorrow might be the opposite. A lot of it's going to hinge on what the president says tonight. But once this is all settled, then we can go back to trading actual supply and demand fundamentals. Probably a great example of this is wheat prices. And the roller coaster that wheat prices have been on, with some impressive gains over the past month, but also big loss days like today. The whole time we've had big surpluses of wheat. We're one of the largest world holders of wheat with nearly a half year surplus supply, especially hard red winter wheat. But yet we've seen this volatility because of speculative money coming in here and trading these headlines.
So as you look at that, I mean, and know that the war has definitely had an effect on the markets. We saw that pullback, as you talked about, in the grain and the oil sectors. How do we move forward? How do we focus on the nows in the headlines, but also trying to focus on what we need to make ourselves profitable?
And that gets very hard and becomes an emotional decision when you see this kind of volatility. And I'll go back to what I've been saying now for almost 2 years, that we're in the middle of the part of the ag cycle where things are tough. And you can have rallies during that time. You have to take advantage of those rallies. That our bigger concern now is being defensive in our marketing to make sure that we can protect the equity we built in the farm during some of the good years that we've had in the past. Might these prices go higher? Absolutely, they might. But incrementally selling in these rallies, hoping that you sell the rest for more, and knowing that your greater risk is probably if all these prices collapse on us than it is of going higher at this point. Now, that's going to vary by farm operation depending on how heavily leveraged they are. Those that are more heavily leveraged can afford to take fewer risks and need to take that defensive path a little bit more aggressively. Those who have very little debt can afford more risk generally, and they can afford to take more risk. But customize based on that approach, knowing what your break-evens are and knowing whether you have crop insurance to protect the revenue to a certain level, and then working on making sure you get something above that or an opportunity above that, taking advantage of it. And then there are opportunities for re-ownership. Even some over-the-counter products are available from some grain buyers that allow you that flexibility to still be rewarded at a relatively low cost if prices do go higher.
Weather-wise, it's been a struggle for winter wheat. And this is a crop that usually, you know, as some say, has nine lives. But it has definitely raised some concerns as we saw the latest crop conditions reports that came out on Monday.
Absolutely. And the markets fundamentally, I said, are trading headlines today. But one of the things that's amplifying that is rain that's in the forecast for parts of the central and eastern plains where it's been so dry. But the driest areas to the west, and as we talk to our weather partners at Commodity Weather Group, they say, in fact, 70% of the hard red winter wheat belt is dry. And unfortunately, the bulk of that is not going to get much rain out of this, in their opinion. And so I think we're going to be watching real closely over the next several days as this initial system goes through to see what areas miss out, what areas get rain in coming out of that. And then the market, depending on what the headlines in the war are at that time, I think the market will react accordingly.
Do you see, I mean, kind of waited with bated breath as, you know, folks like Eric Snodgrass, for example, talking about where these rains might hit over the next couple of days, and many folks banking and kicking off April with some decent moisture.
Yeah, and Eric has really made a point of where has the severe weather been this year? And for the most part, the severe weather has been to the east of the Plains hard red winter wheat belt. And that's an indicator of where the general weather pattern is at, leaving us dry. And he basically says if that pattern continues for another 45 days, none of us like that severe weather. But unfortunately, it's the way we get so much of our moisture. And if the severe weather stays to our east over the next 45 days, then that really sets the table for a possible persistence of developing drought for the summer then as well.
As you look at the scheme of things, yesterday's USDA reports, have they kind of started to move into the has-been category?
Yeah, that's an interesting report. As you look at the acreage numbers, first of all, the acreage shift from corn to soybeans was not as much as the industry expected or as much as what we anticipated. But I said before the report to our clients that if there's a surprise, it would probably be a surprise toward less of a shift. And when you look at the initial reaction of the market, initially the algos traded the difference between what the market had printed as anticipated and what it was, pushing corn lower and beans higher. But then corn started following beans higher because the human element says, wait a minute, this isn't really a surprise on the acreage. And when you look at the corn stocks coming in less than anticipated, it's not really a bearish report. Now, as we look at the corn stocks number coming in about 100 million bushels less than the trade expected, about 200 million less than what I anticipated, that is significant. Now, one quarterly stocks report does not a trend make, but if we see that same tendency continue in the June stocks report, then we have to start assuming that USDA overstated the size of last year's crop. And I can hear farmers everywhere saying, yeah, we told you so. But that would be evidence of that. Again, this could be simply sampling error from this one survey, but if it continues to hold through the next survey, then we'd start to look for that. And if that were the case, we would expect to see USDA reduce the size of the crop by 1 to 200 million bushels on September 30th, at the same time reducing feed usage by a similar amount, ending up with ending stocks at the same spot. I think the bigger potential surprise is if when President Trump goes to Beijing on May 14th, if corn is part of the trade deal, I don't think the market's counting on that at this point, then that would argue that we don't have enough acres, that we'd be very vulnerable to any type of weather scare this summer. If not, then I think we're in good shape. We'll have to see how the growing season this summer actually plays out then for us.
And finally, as we wrap up our conversation, a nice pop of the green for the cattle complex.
Absolutely. Seeing good cash at the end of last week. Generally seeing that the board has had fresh injection of money flow. The producers really taking advantage of it and hedging.
All right. Arlen Suderman joining us today. Quick reminder, commodity futures and options do involve a substantial risk of loss not suitable to all investors. And that's the market wrap-up right here on the American Ag Network.